This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here, and after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
6:14 now, chilly. Chillier than it was yesterday, for sure. They talk about March coming in like a lamb or a lion, but in this case, spring, which started a little bit more than 2 hours ago, is coming in like a lion. Highs today of only 61. That's going to be around 6 o'clock this afternoon before the sun sets. Right now it's 53 tomorrow. Nice. Highs of 67. Plenty of sunshine for the weekend. 74, 76 for highs respectively after starts in the 50s. Maybe a couple of clouds on Sunday, but still spring-like. And you got to get out and enjoy these days because they are dwindling down to a precious few as the heat and humidity of summertime approaches. It'll be here. Dane Ciolino joins us now, our friend, professor of law at Loyola. Talk about the judge putting a pause on the city council's travel ban after the mayor filed the lawsuit. How you doing, Dane?
Just fine, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay. Does this go to the city charter? Who has responsibility, or who can tell who what? Who's the boss of who, maybe, is what I'm trying to say in layman's terms?
Yeah, the mayor and her lawyers are arguing that the home rule charter of the city of New Orleans prohibits the council from at this stage in the budgeting process interfering or on a temporary basis telling her she cannot spend funds that have been budgeted already. It's a very very detailed lawsuit that they have gotten some success with so far, because a duty judge temporarily restrained the council from enforcing that ordinance against her with respect to travel. There's going to be a full-blown hearing next week as to whether or not that temporary restraining order should be turned into a preliminary injunction or a permanent injunction eventually.
So it would seem like whether the mayor's got a little bit of time in office or not, it doesn't matter. The council should have always been, and I might be wrong in this, I'm just wondering, the council should have always been able to tell the mayor if she can't travel or not pay for expenses, or take me through this, Dan, because I'm confused. What would change as far as the time frame of it?
Yeah, it is a little confusing and surprising that the mayor is going through all this trouble for this. This is usually kind of a political squabble or issue that's sorted out in the legislative process. And of course, historically, the legislative branch of any government holds the purse strings and decides how what money is going to what of the people's money is going to be spent. But here she doesn't like what the city council has done and argued that they essentially are usurping her executive power by telling her how to spend money that's already been budgeted to her office.
So the mayor has lawyers from Phelps Dunbar, as well as the former Entergy CEO Charles Rice, whom I've met a couple of times, defending her. He said he assumed he was brought in because he's familiar with the council and the mayor's legal battles. One question, again, I have as a layman is, when it comes to Phelps Dunbar, I'll due respect, of course, and to Charles Rice, they're just doing their jobs. Who's paying for that? The city?
Yeah, that's a really good question. That was a question that popped immediately to my mind. Typically, the city attorney's office would be involved in something like this. And it's quite surprising to see a private law firm and, you know, really capable but expensive lawyers handling the suit. There's some chance that they're not charging the mayor. That's a possibility. I don't think it's likely. But in order to pay private contractors like this, there's an appropriations process that needs to go through with approval by purchasing. So, yeah, that's a big question in my head. Who's paying for this? If anybody, if the firm's doing it pro bono for the mayor, then that's one thing. But if somehow city funds are being used to pay for this, that's a more difficult issue.
And again, I have no, I'm not trying to cast aspersions on anybody at all. But if it is being done pro bono, then you would have to worry about whomever is doing business with the city or the mayor about conflicts, right? Because pro bono is one thing if you're doing it for somebody that's destitute or somebody that can't afford counsel. Take me through that process, Dane, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't really trouble me a lot. I mean, because lawyers do a lot of pro bono and public interest work for little or no pay. That's not something that's terribly uncommon. You know, again, I just don't. I guess think we need more facts. Yeah.
I guess what I'm wondering is, a friend of mine does estate law and wrote a couple of books on it, and he says, kind of, you know, he tells the kid, he figures out, or at least or realized after a long time that, you know, after the kids quit squabbling about the estate and fighting each other, and he gets paid after anything, if there's anything left, they can have it. And it just seems like, and he's not doing anything wrong, I'm just saying that, you know, people sometimes get caught up in legal proceedings and they're more concerned with winning than the amount of money at hand. And I'm just wondering if the city doesn't wind up spending a lot more money on this if they are paying for Phelps Dunbar, Charles Rice, whomever, and the city winds up spending a lot more than the mayor would have spent traveling.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
You see where I'm going with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's why it's a, you know, it's a very valid question to ask who's paying for this litigation, because it is, it does seem to be much ado over a plane trip.
And I know a lot of politics are involved here, and politics actually, you know, believe it or not, happens between the city and the city council and the mayor. But I'm just wondering, while the taxpayers are picking again, teams, you know, I'm going to win team mayor, team council. Let's look at what we're paying in free agency for all of this. 620, more with Dane Ciolino when we come back. Traffic now, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Dane Ciolino, professor of law at Loyola, about a judge and a temporary restraining order about Mayor Cantrell's travel and whether or not we're spending, or the taxpayers are spending, a whole lot more than the mayor would have spent traveling. Dane, when it comes to the actual legal maneuverings on this, so the council at some point decided, that's it, we're not going to pay for the mayor's travel anymore, right? And the mayor went to court and said that you're overreaching. I'm trying to get back to the basics of this, that you're overreaching and this is against the city charter.
Yeah, and of course, as you may recall, politically, this council did that when the mayor decided not to allocate money to the school board because the city was, in her view, bad financial shape. And the council responded essentially by saying, if the city is in bad financial shape, then you shouldn't be spending city funds to go on trips. And they passed the ordinance, and it was unanimous. Oddly enough, she didn't veto the ordinance, as of course she could under the Home Rule Charter, and go through the political process to try to undo an ordinance that she was unhappy with. Instead, she went to the court system. I guess she saw the writing on the wall, since it was a unanimous ordinance, that her veto would quickly be overridden by the council. So she is essentially asking this. She, in a TRO application last week, she asked the judge to temporarily ban the council from enforcing that ordinance against her with regard to her travel. And next week, Judge Kern Reese is going to hold a full-blown hearing on whether or not the council's ordinance violates the Home Rule Charter, because it usurps her executive authority as the chief executive officer of the city.
And I know you didn't come on and talk about this, but the school board thing is something else that's working its way through the courts, and we'll talk to Joe Geruso about that later. That's not linked legally to this, but politically to this. Would that be accurate?
That's 100% accurate, yes.
So it was a result of the mayor making her decision with that school board case that led the council politically to say, fine, as you just said, you don't have the money for that, then you don't have the money, then we don't have the money for this.
Exactly. And now somehow somebody's got the money for the lawyers to fight all this out in civil district court.
Nothing against lawyers. I'm not criticizing lawyers. I wish I could have been one myself. Let's talk about this temporary restraining order, how this is likely to play out, because Judge Marissa Hudibarrat, if I'm pronouncing that right, granted the TRO, but a different judge gets to decide on whether or not, I don't know, tell me about how that process plays out.
Yeah, under the Louisiana Code of Civil Procedure, you can go ex parte, which is all by yourself, to a judge, which the mayor and her lawyers did, and temporarily put some action on hold. But it's only temporary. It'll only last for 10 days. And then there needs to be an adversarial, full-blown evidentiary hearing where the other side gets to put on their evidence. Now, the interesting thing is going to be who's going to show up to defend the city council and the ordinance. Typically, the city attorney's office would do that. I presume they will in this case, because their attorney, their client is the city, not the mayor. I presume the city attorney's office is going to show up and argue against the mayor on this. That's why they're not involved in the first place, because of that conflict of interest, and the mayor had to go out and hire outside counsel to handle her case.
So the city attorney represents both the council and the mayor, and I'm correct?
Technically, the city attorney's office represents the city of New Orleans, the entity. None of the particular constituents or players, but the city itself.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and in this case, the city council, through the ordinary political processes set forth in the Home Rule Charter, has enacted an ordinance. The ordinance was not vetoed by the mayor, so it's part of the law of the city. And whether it violates the Home Rule Charter is something that typically the city attorney would go to court and argue in support of the ordinance. But that's going to be directly contrary to what the city attorney's boss, the mayor, wants to happen. So that's why I think it's going to be interesting to see who shows up in support of the city and how vigorously they advance the council's position on this as opposed to the mayor's.
It's not beyond the realm of belief to think that the mayor could have gone to the city attorney's office, pleaded her case. They said, you're wrong. And she said, OK, I'll get outside counsel.
That very well could have happened.
Gotcha. Thank you, Dane. Appreciate it as always. Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, always there when we need him. 6:30. We'll talk to Mike Strain when we come back. Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry right now. Time for WWL First News.